Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Let's just bow our heads right where we are, and let's share in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're so grateful for mothers, and we're grateful for Mother's Day and being able to share in this special day. And so we're glad that you are here. We honor you, moms, for all that you have done. For those of you whose moms are still with you, you can say it to them. For those of us who have said goodbye, we remember and we reflect, and we do so with gratitude. You know, being a mom is not easy, and we recognize that. Everybody recognizes that. Moms have a lot to do. There are also phases that moms go through that we just have to acknowledge today. I want to share with you some of those phases that moms go through. First of all, there's the I read all the books phase. And this is when you're pregnant and or you have a newborn. You've read everything. And you have a plan for feeding and sleeping and discipline and college savings. You judge people who give kids sugar before the age of three. And then you have a baby and everything gets blown up and you're giving them pixie sticks and Mountain Dew when they're not even one yet. Then there is the what day is it phase. And this is the newborn survival phase. You celebrate 2-hour stretches of sleep like you just won the Super Bowl. Coffee is no longer a beverage, it's life support. You cry, the baby cries, everybody cries. Then you move into the tiny dictator phase, and that's when you have a toddler, and you're negotiating with somebody who cannot say banana, but has very strong opinions about bananas. You cut the sandwich wrong, your child goes into meltdown. You cut the sandwich right, your child goes into meltdown. Then there is the where did you get this personality phase? And this is when they're in preschool. Your child says something in public that exposes the entire home and everything about your life. And they repeat everything, like everything. You hear your own tone coming out of their mouth, but you blame your spouse for them sounding like you. Next is the Google homework and lost shoes phase. This is when they're in elementary school. And every morning is a scavenger hunt as you look for a backpack and a lunchbox and that left shoe and your sanity. You relearn math because it's different than how they taught your other kid 2 years ago. Every day, every week at school has a dress-up day. And this week's dress-up theme is parasitic ocean barnacles. The catchphrase for your life is, how are we late again? Then there is the emotional roller coaster phase, and this is when they are preteens. 1 minute they hug you, the next minute they're embarrassed that you're even breathing. Friend drama becomes a full-time narrative in your life. You start getting one-word answers, so you have a translation guide you keep up with. Fine means not fine. Nothing means definitely something. Then they move into what you'd call the driver's seat panic phase. And this is when they're teenagers. You hand them keys and immediately question every decision you've made in life. They think they know everything. They think you know nothing. And you pray more than ever before while you slam your foot into the floorboard of the passenger seat. Then there is the did we raise a functional adult phase. That's the launch phase. They leave your house. They take half your groceries with them. You miss them deeply, but you enjoy a quiet cup of coffee again. You wonder if you taught them enough. And then you realize you probably did. And then there is the full circle phase. And this is when you have adult kids. They start saying things that you used to say, and they swore they would never say those things. They finally call for advice. And you watch them become what God made them to be. There is the sweet realization that those chaotic phases were forming something beautiful. Motherhood is basically going from one phase to another. It's going from the, I've got this, to Lord, help me. And ultimately to, wow, God, you did something after all. So moms, we're cheering you on today. And we say thank you today. Thank you for loving us in every phase. And phases are exactly what we want to think about today. We're in a series over these weeks called Pressure Cooker, and we're talking about the pressure cooker of family life. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want to talk about when we're in a new phase, or you might say it's just a phase. Every parent remembers the moment when you looked at your child and you thought, who are you and what did you do with my kid? I mean, one day they're toddling across the living room and the next thing you know, they're rolling their eyes at you and asking for the car keys. Parenting does not stay the same, and that's because kids don't stay the same. And here's the secret, you don't stay the same either. Everybody is always moving through new phases of life. And the question is, are you the parent this phase needs? Because no matter what phase of life your kids are in, they need you. You're important, and they need you. And the Bible tells us some important words about making an impact on kids and doing so in the various stages and phases and places in life. Our passage today takes us to the family once again. For the Jewish people, this passage was one of the greatest passages in all of Scripture. They refer to it as the Shema because the Hebrew word for hear, as in to listen, is the word Shema. And it begins this whole section. It's a basic statement that just is ingrained within the Jewish people and in the Jewish faith. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. It begins in a very personal manner, and it declares the uniqueness and the glory of God, that God is not like anyone else. He is God. He is one, and God is enthroned, and he is robed in majesty. He is above all, and yet he is a personal God, and it speaks of the personal nature of who he is to us. This majestic, unique God wants to be in a relationship with each and every one of us, and the Bible teaches us here that we are to love God with our heart and our soul and our strength. It is a calling to love God with everything we have, with all that is within us. And that is a personal relationship that the Lord desires with all of his children, including you. And this type of relationship is what God wants us as parents to teach our children. Promoting and encouraging relationships will strengthen the family. And when you love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength, it makes a difference in every aspect of your life. Loving God that way affects your entire family. Our love for God overflows to those around us. It overflows to our kids. And so the Bible teaches us to teach our children about the Lord, and we do so in a variety of ways. Look in verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The Bible commands us to impress them on our children. The image that is used there is that of an engraver working on a monument, taking a hammer and a chisel and painstakingly etching text into the face of a slab. That is a daunting task, but the message is there to stay once it's etched in. And that's what parents are commanded to do for their children, to prepare them for a life by impressing the Word of God into our kids. Now, some people would say, well, that's indoctrination. And indoctrination is terrible. I want to let my kids make their own choices. I'm not going to indoctrinate them. Well, when you say that, that's fine, but you just need to understand that all you're saying is, I'm not going to indoctrinate them. I'm going to let somebody else do that. Because your children are going to be indoctrinated with something. It's going to happen with school. It's going to happen with friends. It's going to happen through social media. Something is going to indoctrinate them. And the Word of God says that parents have the responsibility of putting that seal to the wax when it is soft. The King James Version says, teach them diligently, which means to sharpen. You have a responsibility as parents and grandparents, I would say, to sharpen your kids for a life. Because one day you're going to send them off like arrows. So you have to prepare them. And you do so in the practical experiences of life, in those teachable moments. The word that is used here in the Hebrew refers to casual talk. It's not about formal teaching sessions, but it is informal, teachable moments. In other words, it might say today, when you're sitting in front of the TV, when you're having food around a dinner table, when you go for a walk, while they're laying in bed, when you're standing next to them as they're brushing their teeth, and you're making sure they're brushing their teeth. Teach the practical truths of God in everyday life situations. It doesn't mean that every single conversation has to be laced with Scripture. But the idea is that you are surrounded with teachable moments. Our church has a family ministry, and that family ministry talks about consistent faith talks and capturing God moments. Consistent faith talks are setting aside time weekly to talk to your kids and grandkids about the Bible, helping them at an age-appropriate level to understand the Word of God and application of it. And our church provides to families every single week an email resource with that material that is available to have those kinds of conversations. Capturing God moments turns everyday conversations into experiences, into opportunities where they can learn and apply God's word. And here's what's great. We're called to do that on a regular basis with our kids. Every phase of your kid's life will allow you to do so. And that's what I want us to think about today. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not turn from it. I preached a message on that a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago now, and talked about, is that a promise or a proverb? It's a proverb. God gives us families. He gives us fathers and mothers, and as parents, we have the privilege of leading those families. Whatever stage of life your kids are in is an opportunity for you to train them up. It's an opportunity for you to lead. Whether your kids are in diapers or in the workforce, parents never stop being parents. And we have a great opportunity in the phases of life to apply this passage. If they're children or adults, you can impress them on them. You can talk about them when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, let me explain a little bit more about this. Today, I hope to encourage all of the moms, but I also hope to encourage everybody who is a parent or a grandparent. But it's not even just parents and grandparents. All of us can derive truth from this passage. God designs life in phases, and he wants each of us, in whatever phase of life we find ourselves, to be used by him. So let me talk about the four big phases of growing up. There are lots of ways to describe the phases of life. You know, God makes things in phases. We see that in nature. We see that in creation. We see that in our human bodies. And certainly we see that in how we grow. But I want to paint with a broad paintbrush today And I want to describe four phases of growing up that I think can help us to apply this passage of scripture that we're looking at today. I start with what I call the foundation phase, and this is where parents are the caretaker. They're the caretaker. The foundation phase is when your kids are born all the way up until the time they're about to enter into elementary school. In this foundation phase, your kids are totally dependent upon you, and your role is that of caretaker, to provide, to protect, to nurture. They're in the process of learning in that phase as well. They're trying to figure out if something is safe, if they are loved, who they can trust. As parents, we aren't teaching our little ones deep theology in these moments, but you're helping them to experience love and truth. You're providing security through your presence and protection and stability, and you embody their world. Their whole world centers around mommy and daddy. And it should be a world of love. It should be a world of affection and attentiveness and grace and belonging. It's that age that you begin to introduce them to God. You do that through prayer, through Bible stories, through talking about God at home. It's taking that little toddler on a walk around the block and telling them that God made the birds and the roly-polies. You're making them familiar with who God is, that God loves them, and that we love them. And as parents, what you're doing is you're beginning to shape their understanding of God. Well, what that's going to do is that's going to take you into the next phase, which is the formation phase. And this is where parents are the coach. These are the elementary years, the years where they're learning what is true, what is right, what is wrong. They're learning to develop habits in their life. And what is repeated in this phase becomes rooted in the next phase. Habits become patterns for their life. Truth becomes part of their worldview. Discipline forms their character. A lot of parents oftentimes just don't want to discipline their kids. They feel like they're being too harsh to do that, but you're actually mistreating your kid. You're mistreating your child if you refuse to discipline them, because someone will. Someone will. So your role is that of coach. As you're forming their character, you're teaching and training and correcting. And as parents, this is where you have the opportunity to teach truth through intentional conversations. Those consistent faith talks and capturing those God moments that we talk about in our family ministry, man, this is where they really begin to develop. And you can begin to explain the whys of things as they get older and not just the whats. You can help them to understand God's character and how God's character is to be reflected in our life through our character. You are helping to shape their character and correct and to address heart issues. You are key in modeling what faith looks like. And they're going to be looking at you, mom and dad, to see how you really live out your faith to develop their understanding. So you're going to be key in modeling all of that. It's not just what you say. It's also going to be how you live. Biblically speaking, I would say it this way. You're actually making a disciple. You're not just raising a child. You're making a disciple. You're the trainer in the moment. And so, parents, I would just encourage you, you cannot be passive here. You cannot be passive. You have to think big picture. I've been there. I've been in that phase, and I understand. I mentioned earlier, you're trying to find a lunchbox, you're trying to find that left shoe, trying to find your sanity, all those things. But we have to understand, parents, this is such a key time in their life. And just remember, it's not just about getting homework done and dinner on the table. Yes, that's a reality, and those things have to get done, but don't miss the opportunity to, verse 7, impress these things on them, to talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. I mean, you're looking for opportunities to coach your kids at the same time that you're getting homework done and getting lunches made. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's not easy to do. You know that. If you've got kids in that phase, it's not easy to do. But can I just relieve you of something? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Just try. Just try. Just take some steps and you'll see the payoff with your kids. In this formation phase, you're going to build these things into them. But in the next phase, what you're building into them is going to get tested. And that's the fledgling phase. And this is where you're the counselor. Do you know what fledgling means? We often think of it in terms of birds. And that's a good picture for us to understand. A fledgling is a young bird that has recently developed feathers and left the nest. But they're still learning to fly. And oftentimes they're fed by their parents while they're on the ground. It's the stage that's between the nestling stage when they're unable to fly and in the nest and being fully independent. In other words, it's when the bird gets its driver's license but is still going to be home for dinner that night, all right? So we call them teenagers, all right? Teenagers, that's the fledgling phase. And teens are asking this, do I really believe this? Who am I? What will I choose to do when nobody else is watching? So the base of authority is shifting and their identity is being defined. These are not easy years for teenagers or parents. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Parents, this is a great time to consider yourself to be a counselor. Yes, there are periods in the teenage years where you are coach and enforcer. But look for opportunities to be that counselor, to be that guide, to listen and to be a voice of wisdom, to ask questions more than you tell your opinion on everything. Don't rescue them too quickly, but coach them through opportunities and decisions and outcomes. Hold them close when you can. But also, parents, we have to begin the process as they are aging up in those teenage years of loosening our grip. Coach them into who they are in Christ, not what the world says. Coach them as to where they can find anchors for their life that will help them throughout the generations. And here's something that is really important. Help them move from your faith to their faith. That's really important. Help them move from your faith to their faith. You are preparing them for the future in a real world when they're going to ultimately be independent. So teach them, trust them until that trust is broken. But even then, don't overreact. Sometimes what happens is people will clamp down and they'll clamp down very tightly. I've seen a lot of parents that clamp down very tightly on their kids their entire life. And oftentimes that leads to rebellion. I've also seen parents who go the other way and they just kind of completely disengage and just kind of let their kids do whatever they want to do. And those aren't good outcomes either. So you got to ask God, give me wisdom in this phase to respond with grace and wisdom and to represent God well in this relationship that I have with my fledgling teenager. In that fledgling phase, you walk beside them. But a day is coming when you will release them. And that's the freedom phase. And that's when you're a consultant. That's when they're going to fly from the nest, so to speak. It's when they leave home as they grow into adulthood. And you as parents, now that you've got grown kids and an empty nest, as we say, you're now the consultants in the relationship. Now, if you're a young parent, let me give you a little secret from all the empty nesters that are out there. Parenting adults is the hardest phase. It's a little secret. We think, you know, people talk about teenagers, how hard it is having teenagers, how hard it is when you've got in diapers and all of that. We understand. But parents, I want to encourage you today. It gets worse. No, not worse. It gets harder, but it's great. It gets harder for everyone. The daily authority of the parent has ended. Your kid is no longer your child, as in a little child. They'll always be your child. They'll always be your kid. They'll always be your beneficiary. That's what you start thinking about as you get older. But now they're making their own decisions. They're forming their own rhythms. They're owning their own faith or not. And these are things parents have to deal with wisdom. There's a book that has been helpful to Allison and me by Jim Burns. It's called Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And look at the subtitle. Keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out. Jim Burns does something that most authors don't do. He sums up the entire book in a subtitle. That's what we often have to do as parents in the freedom phase. We have to keep that welcome mat out so that our kids know they're always welcome in our home. But we have to train ourselves as parents to let them be adults, which means oftentimes we have to learn to keep our mouth shut. And that is really hard to do sometimes. But it's really important. Because oftentimes, when parents will not let their adult children make their own decisions, but the parents continue to speak in all the time and speak into the relationship and speak into their kids who are now married maybe. You know, their kids have grown and gotten married and they keep speaking into that situation. Oftentimes it causes great heartache and division. And so parents, we have to be wise in those moments. This is where less oftentimes can lead to more. Many times parents say, I've got to say more. Oftentimes less can lead to more. Because you might find that if you don't speak into every situation in their life, they might seek counsel from you. To hear a trusted voice, a source of wisdom, a steady presence, and not somebody who's constantly nagging them. Forced input is rarely received well by anybody. And what that requires is faith on our part as parents, not control. See, young parents, I told you this is hard. This phase is hard. So when you have adult kids, you pray more, you encourage without telling them what to do, and you trust God with their life and their story. All those lessons you've been giving your kids as they were growing up about the importance of faith, you get to see if you can live that out now that they are adults. You're not going to agree with every decision they make, but you can still choose to look for opportunities to fulfill what Deuteronomy chapter 6 has to say, to talk about the Lord in the right way at the right time without being overbearing, to stay connected, to stay in relationship. Parenting adult children is not easy, but it is important. And in that foundation phase, that first phase we talked about, you build beneath them. In the formation phase, you build within them. In the fledgling phase, you walk beside them. But in the freedom phase, you release them. Every parent has responsibilities in all four phases. Every phase needs a different kind of parent. The goal is launch, not control. So we ask God for His grace in each phase of life. And I would say to you that whatever phase you're in right now, whether you're up at 3 a.m. with a newborn or you're up at 3 a.m. praying for a prodigal, God did not design parenting to be something that you just survive. He designed it to be something that you grow through, that you experience together, that you find joy in? So start asking this question. With my kids today, who does God need me to be in this phase? Happy Mother's Day. Would you bow your head with me? If you've come to our service today and you are a mother, we bless you today. We thank you for who you are and for all that you have done for us. If you are here today and God has spoken to you about the kind of parent or grandparent you are, praise the Lord for that. God wants to do something in and through your life. If you are in one of those phases that we mentioned today and you're struggling, I want you to know that God sees you and knows you and he loves you. If you feel like you look back and you regret some phases of life, well, friend, we can't change the past, but we can ask God to help us today. I talked about that a few weeks ago. I talked about asking God to help you to change the future, to change today and the future, because you can't go backwards. So don't let looking back be something that discourages you, but instead let it be something that prompts you and motivates you to look ahead and to look forward. And maybe God has said something to you about what you need to do as you deal with your kids or your grandkids to impress upon these things, as Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches us to do. To look for those opportunities, those God moments and faith talks, at whatever age and whatever phase of life our kids may be in. If you've come here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, hey, that's where it all begins. It begins by entering into a relationship with God through Christ. And we want to talk to you about how you can receive Christ as Savior if you've not ever made that decision. I want to invite you to give your life to Christ today. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. Give your life to Jesus today. Out here in our commons area, we have our Connect room. It's a glassed-in room. We have ministers who are waiting there now. And if you've come here today and you've never given your life to Christ, go to that room today and give your life to Christ. I saw somebody before this service, even before we've had church today, who was already visiting with somebody in the Connect room. If you've come here today and never given your life to Christ, go give your life to Jesus today. Go be born again, as Jesus said, and experience the gift, forgiveness and grace of God. No matter what you've done, go experience that today. If you've come here today, and maybe today's a day of recommitment for you, you need to recommit as a parent to be a different kind of parent. Hey, let this be a day of recommitment in your life. What a great decision that is. If you've come and you want to join our church, or maybe you want to be baptized, maybe you've come today and you need prayer in your life, you need to pray with somebody. Maybe you've come and you want to surrender your life to ministry or to missions. Hey, whatever God is saying to you, however he's speaking to you, we want to talk to you about that, pray with you about that. So I want to invite you to go to our Connect room as well. That's where you can join the church. That's where you can talk to somebody about a spiritual need in your life. If you need somebody to pray for you, somebody will pray for you there. So I just invite you to go. As soon as we finish singing, just take that step of faith. Be willing to walk into that room and see what God will do in your life. I think God will do amazing things because God keeps working miracles in our Connect room. And I invite you to be a part of that today. So we respond to God's voice. We ask for his grace and his strength to be the people of God that we need to be. Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you, Lord, for these moments, for these people. Thank you for this opportunity to celebrate mothers today. God, we're so grateful for all that you do for us. Lord, whatever phase of life we may be in, that our families may be in, Lord, help us to be the people you want us to be. I pray people would give their life to Jesus today and receive him as Savior. I pray that people would join the church today. I pray that people would make decisions that honor you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We're looking forward to what you're going to do and believe that you're going to move in people's hearts and they're going to say yes to your voice. So Lord, here on this special day, do a great work in people's hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.